Okay. Well, let me open us in prayer before we get started, all right? God, thank you for the opportunity to, again, gather and to continue to engage this topic. And Lord, even as we heard this morning, we are embodied creatures. And Lord, that's our mind, our emotions, our thoughts, our hearts, and our physical bodies. And Lord, we're thankful that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And just pray, even as we hone in and dive deeper with some of the unique ways that you've designed us and created us for your good and for your glory and for your purposes, Lord, that we would just continue to grow in our awareness and our understanding of how you've created us and how you intend for us to relate to ourselves and to relate to you and to relate to others. We're thankful that we can do that together now and just give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this is our fourth time together. We will have 13 meetings, barring any weird snow that we might have in early December or any congregational meetings. I don't mean to talk about snow yet. Didn't feel like snow yesterday, 88 degrees. I was dripping yesterday. So we'll have about 13 meetings or so. And then and as the class continues to go on, I think I had shared last week that we will be having the amount of lecture time will start to go down, and there's going to be more discussion and interaction because, you know, we're talking about relationships and we're talking about being able to talk to each other, and we want to be able to do that more in class. So that's the plan. The front end has been a little top heavy on that, and so I'm looking forward to not listening to my own voice so much. So let's jump in. All right. Okay, one thing I learned is that I'm not going to spend 20 minutes on a summary from the previous week. So what I want to do is quickly just let you know where we've been from since we started. Okay, first point is that we learned that sometimes feeling bad is good and necessary. Okay, we've talked about that. And we've learned and discussed that it's necessary that we recognize that we can feel bad and that expresses actually genuine care for others when we do that, and the Lord, because he was a man of sorrows. And when we feel bad about feeling bad, we talked about how we can often attribute that, we can feel negative about that, and that we can judge ourselves for even having negative emotions. And we acknowledge that there's a lot of sadness and grief in this world. And just as the Lord engaged that grief and sadness, he wants us to as well. He doesn't want us to pretend. And so we don't want to miss on that important aspect of the gospel message that recognizes that we're in a world of sin and that suffering will in fact cause us to feel bad at times. So that was that point there. We talked about what we care about. Why are emotions so important? Because what we care about will shape and influence what we feel and ultimately fuel what we worship. And we've talked about worship. It's not just about a time in the service, you know, when we do the music. It's everything good and bad that we care about and that at times will rule us for good or for bad. Okay? So that's a principle there that we talked about. Next, and this was more last week, so the first two really capture the first couple of weeks. And this one here, we talked about a little bit last week. Emotions give us the physical energy and motivation to do things. Without emotions, we don't do much at all. We just hang out and vegetate, because that's what moves us. Okay? And then we talked about how sharing our emotions with each other, which in order to do that takes transparency and vulnerability, and that there's risk there, but that it's well worth the risk because the result is connection and actually deepening our relationships with each other. We talked about that. And then we talked about how emotions are confusing. And that was one of the last points that we talked about, and remember that word picture of the paint can. There's just so many different things we love and care about, thousands of different things, and those streams of love and care all go into that mix, and life shakes it all up. And so we best represent the image of God in this world by having and living mixed emotions, because there is a lot of sadness and grief, and there's a lot of joy as well. But all that gets mixed together. So at times, there can be conflicting emotions, and things are very confusing. So that's where we've been, and where we're going from here. We're going to finish up from last week. We just had one or two more slides to talk about our bodies a little bit. Perfect time listening to Todd this morning, how we're embodied creatures. So this first slide here, emotions involve our bodies. We feel and experience our emotions in our bodies. All right. Your body often acts as a billboard. Ever thought of that? I love some of these word pictures that I've been reading about. So your body acts as a billboard, displaying your emotions to you and the world, whether you want to or not. Your body clearly worries that if it doesn't capture your attention, you might not listen to its messages. Your emotions are always going physical, hanging out, flashing signs in the form of frowns, grins, tears, sweat, racing heartbeats, surging adrenaline, spiking body temperatures, thinking of many counselees that I've talked with, as they talk about how their body's feeling in addition to how they're emotionally feeling. You know, jaws being clenched, shoulders being tense, neck just stiff and bothering them, pupils dilated. All these things are announcing that something has happened to something that we care about. Okay. It's not surprising when we think about so many of the cliches that we use when we talk about, you know, oh, he was really hot under the collar, you know. And you guys can probably help me remember a few more of them. Just thinking about, you know, I was watching them, and when this happened, the blood just drained from their face. And I remember that happened. Have this feeling in the pit of your stomach. Okay. I've got a gut feeling about this. And we can go on and on about that. So those comments just sort of resonate with what we see on a regular basis when our emotions are escalated at times. So, okay. So a couple comments, and then we're actually just going to look at a couple of pictures just to demonstrate what we're talking about here. Sometimes there's a delay or gap between what you see and understand, okay, with our emotions. So we talked a little about first responders last week. It just mentioned, you know, I wonder how, at 9/11, I wonder how those first responders were feeling about running into that building. I wonder back at Normandy on D-Day, if we talked about that, and I wonder how they were feeling as they got off those boats and were on their way through machine gun fire, and yet they moved. John Keebler, if he was here, he would talk about, often he would say, one of my favorite things to do is to walk into really dangerous situations. And he talked about a time when he had a gun pointed at him, and just how he just went into automatic pilot with his training, and he's had a lot of it, and he walked through, and he just had this conversation, and eventually the person put his pistol down. And then guess what happened when that was all over? Any idea? What's that?
The anxiety started.
Yeah, he just said, you know, so that's the idea. So there was a gap. Okay, so he went in, but then after that was done, his body just shook uncontrollably. And you know, because there was such a surge of adrenaline and of self-protection, preservation, that we were designed that way. That's exactly what the body is supposed to do and should do if you have a gun pointed at you, or if you're advancing on Omaha Beach, or if you're running into a burning building. But at times there can be a delay, or there a gap of some kind. So first responders. Trauma victims is another place where that often happens. Worked with people that have dealt with sexual abuse or rape. And often what will happen in those traumatic situations is that what happens to them is so incredibly hideous and overwhelming that their body, by God's design, will shut down. Their brain will just shut down, and they'll be in pure sort of numb, sort of in another place, and often will not even remember what happened in trauma. And then one day, person will be going for a walk, and they'll maybe approach a park, and then they'll start walking on this trail, more trees, and it starts to become more enclosed. And then, I don't know what, I'm feeling nauseated. That's happened. So some of these emotions, they don't remember everything that happened, but their body still remembers. And then some of that emotion will return. And it's almost as if God said, look, I know that this is so incredibly difficult, what's going on beyond words, that we're gonna protect you emotionally from this. And then after some time has passed, we're going to allow some of these memories and things to come back so that they can be processed and healed. And because those wounds are still there, just because they don't remember them, your body always remembers. Your body never forgets. And so that's another example. Grief. Think about people that go through grief. We've had a lot of recent funerals. I can think 2 years ago, when my dad passed away, there was a lot of logistical things that you're doing. You know, you're getting messages out to people, and you're communicating about health conditions, and you know, you're planning for, you know, what's the order of the sermon, you know, where are you going to house people that are going to come to visit. It just goes, the list is on and on. And so you're sort of distracted by all of that. And you're sort of like in shock or numb about what's happened, or that your dad actually died. And you're so focused on this. And then what happens when all that's over, and then when everybody leaves, right? Some of you know where I'm going with that. And then the floodgates open. The thoughts, the grief, it's like the faucet is turned on, you know, full blast at that point. So that's an example of the delay or gap in our emotions. Okay. Sometimes when you're feeling especially sensitive, we feel emotions instantly. Okay. So even before you have a time to evaluate. Okay, now there's some obvious situations. When you're driving a car and somebody cuts you off, you don't have a conversation with yourself. That bumper, I can't even see that license plate anymore. What a crash, right? No, you don't do that. You know, you hit the brake and you go into self-preservation mode at that point. God designed that. So you might. And then sometimes, afterwards, you know, you're kind of like, man, I can't believe it. Oh, and then hopefully it doesn't go bad where you try to speed up with them and then extend gestures of how you're feeling. Hopefully that doesn't happen, or, you know, or tailgate them, you know, down the road. But yeah, so that would just be an obvious example. Music, I'm a musician, and when I hear music, if I hear a song, sometimes that song takes me back, whether it's, you know, when I was this big, when I hear the theme from Jaws, dun, 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 dun. You know, when I hear that, I still get goosebumps on my arms and on the back of my neck. And that was because one day I drove, or one, I didn't drive, I was so little, I went and rode my bike to that movie. I think I've told my mom this. I'm telling you now. Yeah, I wasn't. She didn't want me to go, or they would not say, oh, I think Jaws would be a good movie for a sixth grader or a seventh grader or whatever. But I rode my bike and went and saw that movie, and I was just absolutely, I was like this the whole time and just kind of doing this. And of course, you know, today you watch it and it's like, are you kidding me? That's so funny. You know, funny, what? You know, no, but to me, I mean, I remember that back in that time. And so our emotions don't have a timeline. It's a very important principle. Okay, and we'll talk way more about that another time. But when I hear music, that's my dad's favorite music. I hear that music and I'm immediately caught up because it was such a special bond that we shared in the music that we listened to. 3 o'clock in the morning, you're sleeping soundly, and all of a sudden, downstairs. What are you feeling?
Fear.
What?
Fear.
Fear, right? Instantly. That's right. And so then you turn over and you say, honey, would you go down and check and see what that was? No. No. So, yeah, that's right. So, you know, no, you're out of bed, you grab your Glock or your baseball bat, and you know, and it's one of these things, you know, you're down there and you realize that the dishwasher vibrates, and there was a plate on the counter, and you know that plate just eventually worked its way. Okay, it's like, oh, no one was ever in the house, you know. So, anyway, so you get the idea. We can feel things instantly, and before we've even had a time to evaluate. Sometimes we talk about the principle of flooding. Sometimes everything's going on fine, and then all of a sudden, you're just absolutely flooded with emotions. Your physical body just starts to feel heavy. Your body is tingling. Your stomach is going crazy. Your heart, and you're not even sure what just happened and what's going on. That can happen to all of us at times, and we don't necessarily know what's going on. So okay. So another piece that's true is that emotions can linger much longer than we would like. Okay, often that lingering occurs when we don't actually move to try to work through or resolve whatever it was that was going on. You know, we find ourselves really, really angry, and Paul Tripp makes a comment: nobody talks to you more than you do. Just something to think about there. So we always have an ongoing conversation going with ourselves at times. And so this anger or this frustration or whatever, often we can feed that. And we often feed it with our thoughts. And that's often why they linger. You know, anger often will turn to bitterness, which I would say bitterness, when we talk about negative and positive emotions, right? Okay, bitterness is a genuinely negative, sinful place to be. It's sort of anger that has intensified and that has not been resolved and addressed, and then it eventually just starts to take you over, okay? And so we obviously want to try to avoid getting to that place. But often that bitterness comes, number one, we just ignore our emotion of anger and we don't try to deal with it. And second, we are feeding it with thoughts and we make statements to each other. We have an ongoing narrative. I can't believe they did that. And that was so wrong. And that was so painful. And I couldn't believe the way they treated that. And you know, all this kind of stuff that goes on. And that's just fueling that anger even more as they linger. And so that's often why things linger too long, is that we don't deal with them or end too quickly. I've met with folks that have gone through divorces or that have had, there's been affairs, you know, in various different places, and to talk with them and to realize that, wait, it's been 2 weeks. Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, things are going well. It's been a little hard, but and so, it's one of those where have they shut down? Because if there's a marriage there and that has been violated, we care deeply about that. And so what's happened that after a week or so, things can be so up, right? So that's an example of times when we shut down. All right. Sometimes, want to make this point too, is that sometimes there are factors beyond our control. Okay, so when we talk about that paint can with thousands of different emotions going in and coloring our emotions and how we're feeling, there are things that we don't control. Think of people that I know that have thyroid conditions. Okay, how that impacts what feelings and what impact on your emotions and the way that you think and feel about life. How does that impact you? Hormones before and after pregnancy. Those are other examples. Clinical depression. Okay, not depression only because you didn't deal with your anxiety. Often depression and anxiety travel together. It's usually lots of anxiety, and then your body wears out. Okay, if it's not clinical depression, just general more depression. That's typically the case that I see most of the times. But there are, in fact, chemical kinds of things that are going on where there's clinical depression, and your bodies don't have any control over that. And then, but that still impacts what's going on in your body, impacts your mood, your emotions. Okay, all right. Okay, so give you a couple of examples of our bodies being a billboard, right? All right, so I'm gonna just buzz through these really quick. It just dawned on me that there's a show it's called Lie to Me. Anybody ever seen that before? Okay. Well, it's an amazing show because so much of the show is they actually address how critical nonverbal communication is. In fact, that's about 90%. I don't know how they do all the science to that, but 90% of a message is in the nonverbal. Okay. So facial expressions, the way things are said, the tone that's used, body posture, all those kinds of things. But interesting, some universal things, eyebrows, down together, eyes glaring, narrowing of the lips, those kinds of things. Fascinating to see these different images. You probably see these all too often. So these pictures are 1,000 words. They're a billboard. And like, man, what is the message of that? What I wonder where they are. I wonder what they're feeling. You're probably like, oh, definitely in the anger category or frustration, but we know that it's more complicated than that. How about that one? Okay, we're not just like, calling attention to the more negative emotions, but all right. How about this one? That face is a very, very sad and complicated face. Maybe too close to some of you. This one. So our body's a billboard. It's amazing. Pre-verbal, I don't know how old this baby is, I'm guessing, I don't know, 6 months maybe? Anybody have ideas? But anyway, emotions are universal in terms of what happens with our faces and our bodies. It's pretty fascinating. Anyway, so our bodies are a billboard. And as was discussed today, they are we are embodied creatures. And this is a big deal. So All right, so where I want to go from here is I want to start talking about and interacting some together about what we should do with our emotions. Okay, now that we've sort of defined them a little bit and we've talked about how confusing they are, we've talked about how complex they are, how they impact our bodies, etc. And so I want to just begin with that. So one thing that's important is to lay down a little bit of a foundation here. There are typically two approaches that people tend to take towards their emotions, okay? One is this try to ignore emotions and just move on, okay? If you remember our very first class, we had these word pictures. We had the storm, we had quicksand, we had awkward was one of them. There was a fourth, and I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, so on that end of the spectrum, people that largely ignore emotions, they just move on, get over it. They tend to deal with life by taking actions. Maybe you know people, you can tell when they're upset because they just get busy. They're just busy distracting themselves and doing whatever they can think of to do instead of actually focusing on what is going on. Squelching emotions, just tough it out, don't let them get to you. Stiff upper lip mentality, basically. And so it's kind of day-to-day life, but just mention what this looks like maybe in a church situation, okay? So say there's I was reading about a woman who lost a daughter to leukemia, and she had had years and years of problems with infertility. And it was years and years before she had a child. And then she had this child, and then the child died of leukemia at 3. I mean, just absolutely heartbreaking. They adopted. They went and they adopted. And they had the child, and then, you know, the way adoption procedures work, there's a 30-day window time or something like that, and it was on day 30. The mom decided to keep the child at that point. So about every kind of loss that you can imagine related to children. So one week after her daughter died of leukemia, some well-meaning folks in her congregation made a couple comments. They told her it was important for her to see her smile and worship in the face of grief at the service. What's the problem with that? Any reactions?
Not giving her time to grieve.
Sure. Yeah. It denied. What did it deny to that woman?
Reality.
What's that?
It denied reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it also denied the fact that she can truly worship God in her sorrow as well.
Right. Exactly. Yep. And that's really the problem with the approach. Okay. Think about what we talked about. Is it good to feel bad? Right. And we've answered that question, not just what we think, but what God says. And we've been called and we've been designed, and it ignores Scripture's call to feel bad at times. And, you know, Jesus was a perfect example of that. You know, we've talked about Lazarus, right? Here, he could have just said, hey, you know, stop the fussing. Just wait 5 minutes. Right? You know, he didn't do that. He wept himself. He engaged the people around him. Job, okay? Lost everything, heaped ashes on himself, you know, just fell to the ground, which was a sign of grief in those times. And then he was still able to say, the Lord be blessed, what you give, you take away. It's a paraphrase, but you remember that. Okay, so that's one end of the spectrum. The next end of the spectrum is to focus intently on your emotions, okay? instead of ignoring your emotions in favor of actions, you focus intently on your emotions, which tends to dominate everything else in your life. Okay. All right. How many of you all have seen Frozen? How many of you could sing every song and every word from that? Won't admit it. Okay. All right. So, this is a great modern day. By the way, everybody I've talked with that would agree with what I'm saying has also said it was a great movie. You know, so I'm not like, I can't believe you watched that movie. No, it really is. It really is a fun movie. But it's interesting what comes out in the song "Let It Go." That was actually a pastor skit here that we did a few years ago. And but that idea, the idea is to be the real you, right? Let it go. Feelings are everything. And if you know the story of that main character there, in that song, some of the lyrics, remember, conceal, don't feel. Don't let them in. Don't let them know. Be the good girl that they want you to be. And so at the climax of the song and the music's crescendoing, this moment of freedom and glory, she steps forth, becoming her true self, and she lets all things go that held her back from who she really was. Okay, and so that's the you know, your feelings define you. Be authentic, embrace who you really are. All right, so maybe you know folks like that. At times, I can be that way. I'm a storm person. I admit it. So, in a church, what does that look like in church? Someone that maybe struggles with that. Okay. Often folks will feel pressure to have some sort of emotional response to music during worship. If they're in any emotional plateau or any emotional valley in their lives, that means you must be in bad shape spiritually. There was one church I was reading about where the pastor always talked about, you know, you just need to be sold out to Jesus. Just be sold out. You know, that sort of mentality. And the pressure at times at folks, you know, because they were waving their hands a lot, and just there's this pressure to just feel and emote intensely. And that somehow that's the kind of heart that is honoring to the Lord, and that is genuine. And so, what's the problem with that situation in a church? Anybody?
You always have to be up.
Always have to be up. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah, Dave.
Well, people have different emotion, which is legitimate.
Right.
It can be legitimate.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly. So. That's right. So this is not about waving hands and actually emotionally engaging during the service, that somehow is wrong, right? But if someone doesn't feel that way and there's a lot of pressure for that, then, you know, it's what is that saying to the woman whose daughter just died, who might not be feeling that way, right? And so that's a problem, is that it really misses, you know, the principle that emotions and our feelings are not to be center stage. They are a part. We've talked about emotions, thoughts, some. We've talked about our hearts. We've talked about our bodies. And if we isolate any one of those and make them center stage, then we miss out on integration. You know, we're not allowing those voices and those messages that we're getting to be integrated together. So when we make our emotions the point, we end up warping our experience of God and life by focusing on one aspect of the integrated goal. All right. So both of these dominant approaches, okay, they miss that the problem is not too little or too much emotion. That's not the problem. The problem is that what resides in our hearts. the bad loves, the bad worship, and the bad treasures. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will be your heart. We talked about that. That bad treasures that produce bad emotions of every day, or that produce bad emotions of every kind, both unpleasant and pleasant, both negative and positive. We ignore that truth by taking that approach. Okay. All right. So I want to start with this. We talk about engage your emotions with God. This is the next piece there. I gave some folks a verse, Psalm 62:8. And read it out loud.
Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Okay. So, very important. Engage your emotions, that it doesn't stop there. But engage your emotions with God. This is where it starts. So, I'm going to be encouraging you guys in a few moments, whether it's in our closing prayer to be thinking about this upcoming week, or whether there's actually a little bit of time left at the end here, to know that when you find yourself in an emotionally escalated place, okay, usually we get there because we've been triggered by something. We'll be talking about triggers another time, but all of you probably have a somewhat of an idea of what I mean by that. When everything seems to be going fine, and in a moment, something happens. Something is said, a look comes your way, you read an email, you hear a song, you know, it could be any of those kinds of things, and all of a sudden, you go on a journey, okay? And it's often a journey inward, and it's often, typically, initially, it's often to anger. But there's, as we know, that paint can, it's not just one thing. There's lots and lots of things that are going in. So when we talk about what Daniel just read in that verse, trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So if we don't start here, then we are leaving out an incredibly important, valuable resource, and that's the Holy Spirit. And that is a God, as Psalm 139 talks about, O Lord, search me and know me. You know where I sit, where I stand. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on your tongue, I know it completely. Okay, what an incredibly valuable resource to move towards when you're in that place, because he knows everything we're thinking and feeling before it even comes out, right? And so engage him with that. So go to him, and that's what that verse is saying there, okay? Matthew 26:39, did I give somebody that? Okay.
This is Jesus before the crucifixion. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will."
Right, all right. So this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We've talked about that before. Unfathomable distress that Jesus was feeling. You kind of hear him say, "I desperately don't want to do this." His body, he's sweating bullets. He's feeling incredible angst about, as he thinks about the crucifixion and what's coming, right? And what does he say? "Lord, if you could take this cup, please take this cup from me," right? So he's anticipating incredible pain and suffering, right? And he's engaging his Father about that, right? He's talking to him about that. And again, an integrated man that Jesus was. In that grief, in that fear of the physical pain, and in that distress, "I trust you, and I'm utterly confident in your plans." Essentially what he was saying. So there's in your grief, in your fear, in whatever you're feeling, there is also truth. There's to counter that and to be a part of that. But again, Jesus models for us. He's a member of the Trinity, and he engages his Father when he is emotionally distressed. Luke 10. Did I give somebody Luke 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So here's a moment when Jesus was not in agony and distress, but he was in utter joy. Lord, I'm so thankful that you did not let the so-called wise people and to understand what I've been saying and what I've been sharing. And I'm rejoicing that in joy that these little children get it. And these supposed spiritual leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, don't get it. And so even in his joy, he engages our Father. Okay. All right. And Lamentations, that whole book is just, you can't read that and just hear the utter despair and dismay that God's people have as they bring all of their hearts and their grief to the Lord. They engage our Lord when they're in that place. So, okay. So I'm going to, in the next just few minutes, what I want to do is I want to introduce to you something that I'm hoping you guys can do at home. And we will also hopefully come back here, and I'm going to enjoy, and everybody will benefit by hearing some of the things that you learn and that you discover as you go through this process of engaging your emotions with God. Okay, so again, we're starting with you're emotionally escalated. So all of you are going to be thinking about between now and when you leave here and when you're home all week, what are just one or two? Because I'm sure you probably, it's not like, oh, well, Greg, I mean, it's like five or six a day. It's not just one or two a week. Just think of a situation where your emotions were just escalated and you were just with zeal, just experiencing and flooded with all that is going on with whatever was going on. Okay. So I didn't have somebody read Psalm 139, but I think that this is a good passage to read as when you find yourself in that emotional place. I think it's verses 23 and 24, but it says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So you get it, you get a sense that in that moment, as you pray, "Lord, I am bringing these things to your feet, to your throne, and I know that my body is screaming, my emotions are screaming. I want to hurt somebody. I want to go hide somewhere. And yet, Psalm 139, there's nowhere that I can go, that I can hide, that he's not there with me." So instead, engage our Lord. All right? So then the work that we need to be responsible to do after we've laid it before his throne, try to name what's going on inside. Identify. All right? So as well as you can put it, because some of you I can see, so Greg, that's great, but most of the time when I'm feeling something, I have no idea what I'm feeling. So what am I supposed to do with that? That's perfectly fine, okay? So what you're trying to do is, as best you can, put some sort of descriptive words to that feeling. Doesn't have to be a label where I'm feeling ashamed, I'm feeling afraid, I'm feeling sad. Okay. Try to avoid "I feel like." I don't want to give John a conniption, okay, if he's here. Okay. But the point is that when we say "I feel like," that's not an emotion and actually gives you an escape route. Okay, so you're not identifying what your feelings and you're sort of disassociating it and comparing it to something else. So "I feel like this over here," right? Okay, so what are you feeling here? I don't know, but it's like this. Okay, it doesn't mean that sometimes analogies and the likes can be helpful. All right, but try to own what you might be feeling. And again, if you don't have a word for it, try to come up with some sort of description. How about, I'm just feeling off today. Not sure what's going on, but just something's just not operating. Right, something's up. I feel like something is going on that I can't explain. But I know my body is this way. I know that I just need time alone. I don't know exactly what's going on, but something's going on. Okay. At that point, you've acknowledged and you've identified something that's going on. Okay. Next, slow down and take an honest look at your feelings. Examine. All right. So that's our call to slow down. Remember when Scripture says in James, be slow to anger? Okay, slow to speak and slow to anger, right? Okay, I wonder why that's the case, because what would happen if we were not slow with our anger? What often happens? Anybody want to admit it? That's right. I mean, if I'm not slow to anger, then I'm the one who is speeding up to catch up that guy that cut me off, right? Okay, so our emotions are always telling you something. So just begin to ask these questions. When you examine something, you pick it up and, you're just trying to explore every kind of angle that you can about what you're feeling, whether it's I'm feeling afraid or I'm just feeling off, right? Okay. What are they telling you about what you are valuing, caring about, or loving? Remember, that's one of the points that we made early on in our time. What are they saying about your relationships? They're always pressing you towards some kind of action. What are they energizing you to do? How are they influencing your relationship with God? What is their effect on your worship right now, whatever it is that you're worshiping, right? So in other words, or in continuing with examine, you're asking questions like, why am I feeling this? Or what am I reacting to? Why is this hitting me so hard? Why isn't this affecting me the way it usually does? Or how is this emotion making me want to behave? Right? All right. So as you examine and as you ask those questions and you're prayerfully saying, Lord, the heart is deceitful above all else. Help me who can understand it? A man's thoughts and motives are deep waters. Okay. Lord, I need you to help me make sense of some of this. You've engaged him and asked him to walk with you in this process. And so then after you've explored and you know, maybe jotted down some things that you've discovered and that you've learned, you begin to sift through the good and bad in the responses, in the experiences. Okay. So again, you're not evaluating at this point. You're just like, okay, so what do I love and care about? Well, with my water bottle, I cared when I lost my water bottle. I've told that story before, but I was not caring about something very wise at that moment. I was totally in my own self-absorbed place when I lost that or left it for the sixth time. So you're sifting through those, right? And then you sort of kind of have them in two piles, so to speak. And then prayerfully and objectively begin to do the next piece, which is to evaluate, prayerfully figure out which aspects of what you're feeling are good and godly and which are destructive and selfish. All right? Now, it's like, sounds easy. Okay? That's going to be something that could take a while. There are some obvious things. Okay, if I look at my response of speeding up and wanting to flip the guy off for cutting me off, that's an easy one. Okay, well, that's obviously a bad one, right? But what about this intense feeling of shame that I had driving home from the soccer field and knowing that I had left my water bottle there? What's up with that? Why is that so intense? Why is there shame over something as benign is that. There's incongruency. There is a call to make sense and understand that. Lord, help me understand. What do I believe? Do I believe that I was made in your image and that you rejoice over me with singing and that I am fearfully and wonderfully made and that you love me and yet I absolutely hate myself and I'm embarrassed about myself because I left that water bottle there. You know, so you see what you're doing. You're beginning to evaluate. Okay, what do I think and I believe? You're getting the thinking, the cognitive side involved with the emotions, right? And we are just about done here. All right, and then the last piece is act, and I'll just leave these two thoughts with you. So once you have evaluated and you've got those piles, okay, because we do want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves, which are other-centered, right? And we know that often our emotions and feelings go bad when we become self-absorbed, right? And so that's often, okay, is the emotion that I'm feeling and where I am, is it more about me and my own comfort, or is it really in an appropriate response because something that I love and care about, my kids, when I hear that glass break and I'm thinking, is there somebody in the house and I need to protect my kids? Okay, that's congruent, that makes sense, right? So what we want to do is then begin to think about how can we nurture the loves of our hearts and behaviors that are good. So after we have those two piles separated, so to speak, okay, so hey, something made sense about this anger. Okay, when I left my water bottle there, it's okay to be frustrated about that because I lost something. You know, who isn't frustrated when you lose something, right? Okay, so it makes sense to have that. Okay, how about shame? Where do I go with that? All right, so you get the picture. All right, so you want to nurture those things. And then you want to starve the loves of our hearts and behaviors that are bad. And so there'll be more about that as we continue to go on. So let's close prayer. Lord, thank you for these moments together and our time. And Lord, I pray that even as all of us leave here today and between now and next week, as we think about and just pay attention to what we pay attention to, as we are aware of our emotions escalating and knowing that those emotions are given to us by you. It's messages that you send from our hearts that you call us to examine and look at. And I pray that you would help us to begin to make sense of some of that, and that you would increase our awareness and that you would expose things in our heart that need to be rethought and made sense of. And Lord, thank you for your Son and for his death, his resurrection, for what he taught us about our bodies and our emotions when he was here in this world. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us now as we go our separate ways and give the rest of this day to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.